This sermon is available for free download from www.graceunlimited.co.za. That's www.graceunlimited.co.za. There you will also find many other sermons, the speakers' blogs, events, pictures, links, web store, e-documents, and contact details. Simply follow the links to Grace Unlimited on Sermon Audio.
I again fell asleep and had a dream. I saw the same two pilgrims going down the mountains along the highway towards the city. Now, a little beyond these mountains, on the left hand, there lay the country of Conceit. A little crooked lane came from that country and joined the way in which the pilgrims were walking. At that junction, they met a very lively young man from that country whose name was Ignorance, and Christian asked him where he came from and where he was going. He replied, "Sir, I was born in the country that lies over there, a little to the left, and I am going to the celestial city." "But how do you think you will get in at the gate?" asked Christian. "You may find some difficulty there." "I will get in as other good people do." "But what do you have to show at the gate so that it may be opened for you?" "I know my Lord's will, and I have lived a good life. I pay back every debt. I pray and fast, pay tithes, and give to charities, and I have left my country behind in order to reach my destination." "But you didn't come in at the wicked gate that is at the beginning of this way. You came in here through this crooked lane. I fear that in spite of how you may see yourself when the day of reckoning comes, you will be counted as a thief and a robber and will not gain entrance into the city." "Gentlemen, you are absolute strangers to me. I don't know you. Please be content to follow the doctrine of your country, and I will be content to follow the doctrine of mine. I wish you well. But as for the wicked gate you mention, all the world knows that it is a long way from our country. I don't think a single person in our whole region even knows the way to it. Nor do they need to worry about whether they do or not, since we have, as you can see, a fine, pleasant lane that comes down from our country into the way." When Christian saw that the man relied on his own wisdom, on the wisdom of his own conceit, he whispered to Hopeful, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is." Then he asked, "What do you think? Shall we talk further with him or go ahead of him for a while and leave him to think about what he has already heard? We could stop and wait for him later and see if by correcting him a little at a time we can do him any good." Then Hopeful said, "Let Ignorance for a little while muse on what's been said, and let him not refuse to embrace good counsel, lest he remain still ignorant of what's the greatest gain. God says of them who discernment have waived, he is their maker, but they will not be saved." Hopeful added, "I don't think it will be good for us to say too much to him all at once. If it is all right with you, let us pass him for now and talk with him another time if he is open to it." So they both went on ahead of Ignorance. And that was the first scene of Ignorance. And we have an amazing amount of information that John Bunyan has put in here for us. It wouldn't have been possible for me to have a look at Ignorance here and then later on when they eventually get back to him, back together with him again, because there's a lot of dialogue at the end, towards the end of the chapter. But you will see that, remember, they were on the Delectable Mountains, and they're on their way down the Delectable Mountains and on their way toward the Celestial City, and they meet up with this guy, and he comes from the town of Conceit. And John Bunyan has quoted two texts there that are perfect when we're speaking about the issue of conceit. And the first is Proverbs 26 verse 12, where he says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." And here comes this man, and he really considers himself wise. He considers himself to be in the right position, and there's nobody that can speak to this man. There's more hope for a fool than this man. And you'll remember when Scripture, especially the Old Testament, speaks about a fool, it's speaking about somebody who makes the wrong choices morally all the time. He's always choosing, when it comes to issues of right and wrong, he always chooses the wrong thing. It's not simply a guy who doesn't have the ability to work on a motor vehicle or know how to change a washer in a tap. He's not a fool like that. He's a person who, when it comes to choices of moral value, he always chooses the wrong moral value. 1 Timothy 6 verse 3 to 4, Paul said, "If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching," he says in verse 4, "he is conceited and understands nothing." Now here is a man who's heard the truth being taught, and yet he says, "No, I'm not going to subscribe to this body of truth that I've been taught. I'm going to go for some other truth, some other doctrine that has been taught me." And Paul is saying a person like that who pushes aside sound teaching and he goes for something else is a person who is conceited, and he uses as a synonym somebody who understands nothing. If he doesn't have this information, this doctrine that Paul has taught, he doesn't have anything. He's a person who doesn't understand. He can't see how badly he needs that teaching. You will notice what John Bunyan says about this man, that he's young and he's lively and his name is Ignorance. And you will notice that as Christian and Hopeful ask him where he's come from and where he's going, he points to his country and he says, "Well, I come from over there, the country of Conceit," and he says, "and I'm on my way to the Celestial City." He's very sure of what he's doing. And just this image, just this picture of this man coming out of this little country lane onto the pathway presents something that Bunyan has put before us. And you will notice, if you look at Christian and you compare him to this man Ignorance, you'll see a vast difference between the two. And you will see specifically how differently they've come into the way. And you'll remember how all of the trials that Christian went through as he approached the way. And Dr. Mack has in his notes, he's put a chart there that compares the way in which Christian came into the way and the way in which this man came sauntering, Ignorance. He just came sort of strolling down in his lively, friendly way into the way. And he mentions that when Christian came into the way, he had this huge burden on his back, you remember. Yet this man was not burdened. There's nothing mentioned of a burden on his back. He just comes strolling in. Remember, Christian was dressed in rags. He was conscious of the fact that he could not present himself before God. And this man, it's not mentioned how he was dressed. There was nothing about him that struck the eye of those Christians when they saw him, Christian and Hopeful. You will remember that Christian, when he came into the way, he was trembling when he thought of the wrath of God. Yet this man, he's lively and he's light-hearted and he's casual. You remember that when Christian came into the way, he had been reading the Bible. It was because he was reading the Bible that he was trembling and he was so convicted of his sin. Yet this man, there's no mention of him being in contact with Scripture at all. In fact, when he speaks later about they didn't even know where the wicket gate was, where they were supposed to go in, it would suggest that he had no contact with Scripture. He had not been feasting on doctrine. You remember Christian, as he came into the way, he got trapped in the slough of despond, and he was stuck there until he'd fought his way all the way to the other side, and he was helped out. Yet this man, there's no mention of him going through an experience like that. remember right in the beginning when Christian came into the way, he struggled because he knew that he simply couldn't keep the law of God. You remember he went all the way up the mountain there with Mr. Worldly Wiseman, who said he must just go over there and he can have his burden taken off, and that was suggesting that he just simply keeps the law of God and then he will feel better. And Christian discovered he could not keep the law, and yet here this man, Mr. Ignorance, is saying, "No, I've done it, it's fine. I have a clear conscience, I'm doing what God requires of me." You'll remember when Christian came into the way, he felt condemned. Yet this man had never thought about it. And I might just quote Joel Osteen again. You remember when he was on Larry King Live, and Larry King asked him about sin, and he said, "Don't you ever preach about sin?" And he said, "Oh, well, I've never really thought about it. I don't know." You know how he's not really sure what he does. But he says he may have and he may not have, but he's never really thought about it. He can't even say whether he teaches on sin or not. He doesn't even know whether that's one of his teachings. Yet here this man, Ignorance, comes sauntering out, and while Christian felt condemned when he was in the city of destruction and he had to come out, this man comes in and he says, well, he's never even thought about being convicted of sin. He's just here and he's on his way to the celestial city. And you'll remember one of the most critical things when Christian came in through the gate and he arrived at the cross of Christ and his burden fell off. This man has never even been there. He doesn't know what it's like to be convicted of sin, and therefore he doesn't know what it's like to have that burden of sin removed and to feel free and clean before the living God. So comparing these two, of course Christian and Hopeful are surprised. Look at this guy. He's so totally different from us. He's coming in such a totally different way. This is not safe. This guy's got a false hope. He's ignorant. So they ask him how he thinks he's going to get through the gate when he gets to the celestial city. And they suggest to him that he might have a problem when he gets there. You can't come into the way like this, and you can't present yourself at the gate of the celestial city like this and expect to be received into the celestial city. And he says, "Oh well, I will get in just like every other good person gets in." You can see this man. You can see the ignorance just shining out of this man. He believes he's a good person. He believes that he's born good, and he believes that he's performed enough to do what pleases the Lord and to gain him entrance. He says, Christian and Hopeful say to him that he doesn't have anything to show when he gets there. And he says, "Well, listen, I know my Lord's will. I know what God requires of me." And if he really did know what God required of him, it should have brought him to a point of conviction. Should have brought him to a point where he realized that he was totally helpless and he couldn't get in. He says, "I've lived a good life." When he evaluates his own life in line with his own perspective, he really thinks that he's done a good job. He says, "I pay back every debt. Every time I borrow money, I pay it back." He says, "I pray and I fast. Of course I'm going to be let in when I get to the gate." He says, "I pay tithes and I give to charities." He says, "Look, I've even left the country that I come from, the country of conceit." You know, what more are you expecting? I am in the way just as well as you're in the way. I've got everything to show. So these are the things that he's claiming are going to give him entrance into the city. All of these great things that he's doing, his clear conscience and everything. And they protest and they say to him, "But you didn't come in through the gate. You didn't begin at the beginning of the way. This is the only way in." And you'll remember what he said. He said, he explained how everybody in his country knows that it's so far. It's just so inconvenient for people like us to travel all the way from the country of conceit to go in at the gate and to begin the journey as everybody else does. And what John Bunyan has done here in painting a picture of this man, Ignorance, and what Dr. Mack has brought out so clearly is all of the areas in which this man is ignorant. There are so many things he doesn't understand as he stands there, and he's saying, "What? You know, what's your problem with me?" And one of the things that he doesn't understand, we begin here, is that he doesn't understand how he can know whether he is in a right relationship with God or not. And it just seems so basic. I mean, we've been going through Romans on alternate Wednesday nights, and we've seen just step by step how a person can know whether they are in the right relationship with God or not. And I'm just bowled over time after time after time when I speak to people who are struggling with difficulties, how little they know about whether they are right with God or not. And here's this man, ignorance. We might look at him and say, ugh, but that's so basic. It's so basic to know, you know, how to know whether you're in a right relationship with God or not. Yet many people don't know. And here's this man, ignorance. He just strolls in and he says, I'm right. And it takes Christian and hopeful to say to him, you're not right. You didn't even come in through the gate. That's the most basic thing. If you want to walk on this road, start at the beginning. I mean, that's the whole letter to the Romans. Then he's ignorant of the deceitfulness and the untrustworthiness of his own heart. He's presuming that his evaluation of himself is accurate. He thinks if he feels like he's going to get in, that he will get in. Remember what Jeremiah wrote there in 17 verse 9, such a well-known verse. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The heart is a deceiver. It gives you a false impression of how clean you are and how right you are and where you stand before God. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 4. He said, my conscience is clear. Remember, this is Paul speaking. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Even if I have a clear conscience, I can still be guilty. It's easy to fool the conscience. I think of people, like Paul speaks to Timothy, of people who have seared their consciences as with a hot iron. After practicing and practicing and practicing wrong things for long enough, eventually you don't feel bad about them anymore. But praise God, he is able at any moment to reignite the conscience and to cause that conscience to come back with full force so that people are driven to their knees and they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I take great courage in that. So ignorance is ignorant of those two things primarily, that he has no idea how he can know whether he's in a right relationship with God or not. He has no idea how deceitful and untrustworthy his heart is. Then he doesn't know, he's ignorant of how God's word teaches him to think about life and death. And he has this impression that life is an easy thing. He can just step on the path, he can make his own rules, and he doesn't have to be concerned about the way he lives or what is going to happen when he approaches death. In Luke chapter 12, we have that well-known parable where the Lord Jesus said, from verse 16, he said, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. Verse 19 says, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. He's not saying this is how it will be for people who store up things for themselves. He's saying primarily this is how it will be for people who are not rich toward God, regardless of whether they, you know, rich or poor in this world. So he doesn't look at life and death. He doesn't know what God is teaching about how a man must live and how a man must face death, and that death is imminent. Another thing he's ignorant of is who God is and what God is like. Of course, Jeremiah 51, 17 to 19, Jeremiah is painting a picture of idolatry, and he says, every man is senseless and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is shamed by his idols. His images are a fraud. They have no breath in them. They are worthless, the objects of mockery. When their judgment comes, they will perish. You see a whole social circle, a whole country, a whole of Israel, hanging on these idols, and they've got the living God, yet they choose rather to hang on to their idols, rather have another way of dealing with their personal issues and the things that they desire. And verse 19, Jeremiah writes this. He says, "He who is the portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the maker of all things, including the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord Almighty is his name." And Jeremiah puts before us this contrast between what all of the world's religions are like, this whole school of thought that is trying to gain a pleasant life experience in some way other than devotion to the living God. And he says, God's not like that. God is different. If you want to understand the way to live and the way to die, you need to abandon all of those religious ways of thinking, like this man, ignorance. I know my Lord's will. I've lived a good life. I pay back every debt. I pray and I fast. I pay tithes and I give to charities. I have left my own country behind. All of that whole way, there's something different. He needs to stop and think in a different way about God, because God is different. It's a different God. Another thing ignorance is ignorant of is his sinfulness and his need of Christ. You remember, he didn't come through the gate. He didn't see his need to come through the gate. There's a perfectly good path here. Revelation 3:17, you'll remember what John, or the angel, said to the churches through John. Church at Laodicea, you say, this is John 3:17, you say, "I am rich. I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing." But you do not realize, and this is the critical word, this is the critical phrase here, you do not realize, and ignorance did not realize, that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. What a sad thing to say, to be standing there like ignorance, saying, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth and I don't need anything. He's standing there before Christian and hopeful saying, I don't need anything, I'm fine, I'm equipped. And they're saying, can't you see? Don't you realize that you're pitiful, poor, blind and naked? You don't have anything. And it's almost impossible for them to break through this hard shell that this man has, where he's protecting himself. And then, second last, ignorance is ignorant of the real motivation and power for holiness that a true believer has. There's something totally different. He thinks that he's got it because he's done these little things that he's claiming as his righteousness. Yet he's ignorant of the fact that there's something totally different happening in Christian and hopeful. The Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in the real Christian, and he's driving them on along the road. Ignorance doesn't have what it takes to come step on the road and make it all the way to the celestial city and to be given entrance into the gates when he arrives there. Romans 8:11, and if the Spirit, this is a great verse, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Now Paul, of course, is tying these two wonderful things together. The Spirit of God raising Christ from the dead, the most amazing miracle we've seen in this world, and he's saying it's that very same Holy Spirit who's living in right inside the believer today, and he's giving him the power to go on as he gave Christ the power to rise from the dead. So ignorance is ignorant of this. He has no idea of this whole world. And then finally, ignorance is ignorant of the fact that God saves. It is not ignorance's efforts that have saved him. It is God who saves. And one of my favorite verses that I've quoted here so often, Jonah chapter 2 verse 9, salvation comes from the Lord. Ignorance doesn't get this. The basics of the Christian life, ignorance doesn't have, yet he's confident that he's going to go right through the gates into the celestial city. So ignorance responds to them. Now they're confronting him, but you don't have it. You don't see it. You don't understand what we're telling you. Ignorance responds. He says, well, you know what? Actually, we're strangers. You don't really have a right to talk to me like this and tell me that I don't have the equipment. I don't have what's necessary. You know, we're strangers. We don't even know each other. And he says, Let's just keep it that way. Let's be content that you follow your teaching, I follow my teaching, and we both just happy. And then he says, as for the wicked gate, everyone knows that it's so far away from our country, and in fact it's so far that nobody even knows where it is. And he says, in fact, that's not even a problem, because as you can see, we've got this fine, pleasant, green country lane that connects right into the way here. And he's got all of his arguments lined up. He's got his shiny shell of defense around him so that nobody can crack in with the truth. And you'll notice this sad thing. Ignorance displays not only a lack of understanding, but also a strong resistance to hearing and understanding. It's not just a matter of not knowing. It's not just an issue of education. Remember when we began here with this proverb, Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. A fool is a person, remember as we said, who takes two options. One is right and one is wrong, and he will always take the wrong option. And here ignorance is displaying that. He's saying he will always take the wrong option. If he has the chance, he will always take the wrong option. There's more hope for a fool than for a man like this. And it's sad for me to see. Over and over, it's so sad for me to encounter this. I remember when we used to have the addicts on our farm. How there was this hard shell of resistance about them. And it's not a matter of information. I would spend hours teaching these people things from scripture. And it would be, yes, 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 we understand it. But when it comes to the point where there's something that they have to do, they will not do it, as there's this hard resistance to stepping forward and doing something that's right. And we see it today. So Christian and Hopeful could see that this man depended on his own wisdom and his own conceit. He was so wrapped up in his package. You remember that saying that the smallest package in the world is a man wrapped up in himself. And I think maybe this is something of ignorance. He's one of the smallest packages in the world. He's a man that's so wrapped up in himself, you can't get in and you can't present him with anything. You can't warn him. You can't stop him from destroying himself. Remember what Bunyan quoted earlier from Ecclesiastes 10:3. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. I mean, those are very, very graphic words. But it's sad. It's so sad to see a man walking. You can see him destroying himself. We saw this thing on the TV last night, this fishing program. I don't know if anyone else watched that thing, but there was a documentary about some people who go out on their fishing boats and they fish for crabs, and they pull the crabs out and they go to the port and they sell the crabs. But there's a guy on the boat who's always quoting scripture, and he's praying, and he's, you know, he's talking about Jesus and that sort of thing. And somebody else on the boat, while he's being interviewed on the camera, he says, oh, it really helps to have this guy on the boat because he's very religious and he's very close to, and then he thought, what's he going to say now? He's very close to, and then he says, he's very close to the man upstairs or the woman upstairs, however you want to say it. You know, he's got no idea. And then he says, the higher power or something. So he's, you know, sort of stammering over words when it comes to these spiritual things. But he's a man who's so confident, you know, he's driving this boat and he's, you know, he's got money on his mind and they're doing business and everything. But when it comes to that, you can see the ignorance. He has no idea about what's going on. But at the same time, you know, it's just not just an issue of education. I don't want to know. You know, he's got his thing, I've got my thing, and let's just leave it that way. So they agree to leave him for a while, and maybe they're hoping that their words will sink in while they've been speaking this warning. You don't have what it takes. What are you going to do when you get there? So they agreed that it wasn't wise to say too much to him all at once, because just the way it happens with us today, he will just tune out. He will categorize them. He'll say, oh, they're just those people who say those kind of things, so I won't listen to them anymore. They sideline you. And that's what he will do. And they have hope that as they've spoken to this man and they part company with him and they wait to catch him at a later stage, they have hope that while they've done what is right, they've been faithful and they've spoken to him carefully and they've warned him, they have hope that God will be pleased to break into that life and change him at any point. And we will see later, we're going to see ignorance another couple of times before we get to the end of this book, because he features in the future. So, we've seen Mr. Ignorance casually coming in, sauntering into the path, not coming in the right way, armed with a false sense of security, not understanding anything about God and not wanting to understand, and rejecting faithful Christians who come to him and try to help him to change. And let's see what happens next time.